Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
And welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. Cheryl Fritz here filling in for Steve this Friday, December 22nd. Welcome back to the show. Joining me now, Quinton Brogdon, nationally known attorney with a long history of successfully litigating claims. Today, we wanted to talk to him about the recent Amtrak crash in Washington and what may come of that with victims and potentials of lawsuits there. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Cheryl. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Where are we speaking with you from?
I'm in Dallas, Texas, where I practice. I have a personal injury practice.
Well, very good, sir. So you're looking a little warmer temperatures than we are up here this week.
We are. We are not quite in Michigan territory. We have a little rain this morning. Yeah.
Beautiful city, Dallas. Beautiful city. The crash, the horrific Amtrak crash in Washington, horrible event. There were some questions before the event by the mayor of Lakewood, where the train, when it was being discussed, and he said, it's just not safe. We're not ready for this. More safety testing needs to be done. What does that do, or does that have any effect on any lawsuits that might come from the victims? I saw an article late last night that six folks had, victims of the crash had already contacted attorneys. How does this look for them?
Well, it doesn't look good for Amtrak right now. Amtrak is a federally subsidized for-profit company. Some people believe they're an agency of the government, but they're technically not. So they can be sued just like any other corporate defendant. The only real difference is their liability per accident. Congress capped it at $200 million, no matter how many people are killed or injured. And so that's the primary difference. Lawsuits can be filed in multiple jurisdictions. Probably they would end up being consolidated, grouped together in front of one or a limited number of judges, you know, down the line. We don't know everything yet. NTSB is still gathering evidence. They're gathering evidence from cameras in the train, interviews of crew members, cell phone records they'll most definitely be gathering of the crew, see whether they were texting or distracted by cell phone use, drug and alcohol testing, still looking at data recorder information. They've gathered some of it. But we know certain things that sure make this look like another in a long line of Amtrak high-speed derailments. We know the train was going 80 miles an hour in a 30-mile-per-hour rated curve. We know there was another conductor in training in the locomotive with the engineer. We know that the brake was not applied by the engineer, the emergency brake. It was only applied automatically at the last minute, which sure appears to be consistent with some kind of distraction or impairment. Mm-hmm. So it looks like the engineer was either inattentive, distracted, impaired, or there was some failure in training. And when you see a long line of these kinds of accidents, as we've seen, you begin to suspect and believe that there's some kind of systemic organizational issue. It's not simply one employee on one day making a mistake. We unfortunately had other all too similar incidents over the years involving Amtrak.
Well, and you talk about it appears to be a systemic problem. That would bode well in lawsuits, the fact that there's a pattern of these kinds of incidents that seems to be establishing?
Well, one of the things Amtrak can be sued for is punitive damages, and that gets into the knowledge of the corporate defendant. If I make a simple error as a corporation or an individual, normally I'm not going to be responsible for punitive damages. Punitive damages involving a conscious disregard for an extreme risk of safety in most jurisdictions. And so if there were things Amtrak knew, consciously knew, but consciously disregarded in putting people's lives at danger, then a jury could find them liable for punitive damages. The other issue is possible criminal proceedings against the engineer. In 2015, there was an Amtrak derailment in Philadelphia where eight people were killed. One judge threw out involuntary manslaughter charges against that engineer who was distracted by reports over the radio of another train getting hit by a rock. Mm-hmm. But another judge is now looking at, in February, 2 months from now, there's going to be a hearing, and that judge is giving prosecutors the chance to represent that criminal case against that engineer for reconsideration. So that's always a possibility in these cases. If the inattentiveness, disregard rises to a level to be criminal, you can have a parallel criminal proceeding against the individual engineer who caused the derailment.
The monies that you talked about, and I know it's not about money, but that's the kind of reparation victims can get sometimes. So the total pot is $200 million?
That's right. And your listeners will think, well, that should be plenty. When what is a human life worth? A jury gets to decide that in each and every given case. But if you have a big enough derailment, you could have literally hundreds of people killed. And if the cap is $200 million, then you can come up with a scenario without too much imagination where $200 million is inadequate. So
sure,
for most and for many derailments and accidents, it may be arguably adequate. But you can quickly come up with a scenario where $200 million is inadequate if you have enough people injured, maimed, or killed. And here we had cars careening down on an interstate below. The locomotives, there were two locomotives, one at the very front, one at the very back. Each of those weigh about 200 tons. Each passenger car weighs about 65 tons. And so that's why, even though there were 86 or so people on the train, you have 100 people injured. You have people below on the interstate. You can imagine just driving on an interstate and suddenly a big 65-ton or 200-ton train comes raining down on top of you. There's a potential for serious, serious injury, maiming and lifetime injuries. That's what it appears we've got going here. So what is that worth? The jury has to decide.
Absolutely. Absolutely horrific events as we watch video and photos start coming in from the scene. Horrific. I appreciate your expertise today, sir. It's a very tragic case, but it's going to be a fascinating legal case to follow as we move forward. Thank you for your time today, Quentin, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Merry Christmas to you. We'll all be watching what the NTSB decides here.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.